We have something special to do on Sunday mornings. Amen? Yes, we come to worship the Lord. Yes, we come to hear the Word of God. But you know something? It's very difficult to stir one another up and provoke one another into good works and to love if you're not here doing it.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello and welcome, everyone. Today on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill teaches the message, Lies Christians Believe, from the New Testament epistle of 2 Timothy. Now, Pastor.
Amen. I want you to turn this morning to two places. And that is 2 Timothy chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 10. Now, we're going to be at other places. We're not teaching through a book this morning. We're teaching different things, so we're going to be jumping around in the Scriptures, and I pray that you're prepared to do so. So, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 10. I've been doing a lot of thinking and praying about the year that we've entered into, and that is the purpose and the reason for this message this morning. You know, I believe in my heart that when a nation starts turning away from God, in other words, turning away from God's Word and turning away and exalting themselves above the authority of Scripture, that they open a door for the devil. Would you say I'm right? Amen. And so what happens is, as this nation that we love, that we pray for, as we seemingly slip a little deeper and deeper into the things of the world, a breach actually occurs by where the enemy, you know, Ephesians 4:27, give no opportunity, don't open a door for the devil, that we open a door for darkness to prevail. And wherever you find darkness, you will find people that think like darkness. Does that make sense? And so what happens is that the generation underneath us, the younger people, the practicing the tolerance today and so forth, the educational system, which can fill your mind full of things that are completely untrue, start believing lies instead of truths. So this morning, I want to talk to you about lies that Christians believe. And what we want to do is we want to remove these untruths from our life. I don't have a lengthy list, just a few I want to share with you. But we want to make sure that now that we're open to a greater attack, and I believe that we are, I believe that the battle for the mind is greater right now than it has been ever. More than last year, it's increased. There's just that ongoing, subtle, very quiet attack on the mind of Christians because the darkness seems to be winning. And so whenever that's allowed, you have the attack that's usually being increased in your life. All these thoughts running through your mind, through your head, and these doubts and so forth. And so what we want to do this morning is we kind of want to declutter and detox and clean out our minds. Is that okay? And we want to leave here this morning renewed and refreshed in our spirits. And so it's very easy for us to assume, since we're believers, we're holding the truth in our hands. We believe in the truth and so forth, and we're followers of the truth. You would think that we would be less susceptible to the lies of the world and of the devil. However, and unfortunately, you know, Christians believe sometimes many lies, don't they? Yes, they do. And what we want to do this morning is clear some of those things up. You know, my life scripture is John 8:32. You shall know the truth will set you free. It would probably be more beneficial if when I quote that scripture, as I do often, that I would quote it with a verse following to give it a greater context and greater understanding. Because it says in John 8:31, Jesus said to the Jews that believed, he said this, he says, if, there's a condition there, if you abide, live, dwell, be in union with, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Now, if you do that, if the word of God, the truth of God is alive and living in your hearts, then ye shall know the truth. And the truth will what? Set you free. Now listen, if we only know the truth and not applying the truth, we're not going to be a free people. Does that make sense? It's very, very important that we get that into our hearts. See, a Christian can be very, very active in church. And I'm thankful for the Christians that are. But they might be active in the body of Christ, but they might not be active in renewing their minds to God's Word. They might not be studying God's Word and so forth. And when that doesn't happen, when you have a zeal without knowledge, you can get in a lot of trouble. Not only do you get in a lot of trouble, but your mind, unfortunately, then is just an open receptacle to receive things that may not be true in your life because you have nothing to back it up with. You don't know the Word of God that well to be able to combat the lies that are there. Does that make sense? So we want to be very careful this morning because true freedom is found whenever we literally allow the Word of God to dominate and to rule our lives and especially our thinking. And we live in a world today that is absolutely bathed in lies. Amen? Just bathed in lies. So let's remove some lies from our thinking this morning. You know, remember when we studied out from 1 John 2:21, I believe it is, he said, no lies of the truth. Boy, that's a good word because what that means is that we cannot recognize the lie or a lie unless we know the truth of God's Word. What a privilege it is for us to gather together and to hold God's Word. Amen. Well, how we know how to live our lives and so forth. So you should be at 2 Timothy chapter 4, but look at verse 2 here. The old Paul, Nero is going to kill him. He's in prison. And he is writing a message to Timothy from prison. He says, Timothy, listen to me very carefully. He says, I want you to do something. And look at this exclamation mark. Paul is shouting. He says, preach the word. In other words, proclaim it, trumpet it, herald it, deliver the truth. Make it known to everyone, Timothy. He says, and look how he tells him to do it. He says, and be ready. That speaks of being passionate. It speaks of an urgency. Be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. In other words, explain it and then follow it with an application. And then he tells us why. Now listen very carefully. This is the time that we're in right now. Paul says, for the time will come. There's a future day, Timothy. And beloved one, it's right today. The time will come when they, meaning professing Christians, those in the church, will not tolerate, they will not endure healthy or sound doctrine, but according to their own cravings, their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up or literally accumulate for themselves teachers. Now watch this. And they, professing Christians, and they will turn their ears away from the what? The truth, meaning I don't want to listen to it anymore, and be turned aside to fables. Now listen very carefully. Talking about removing lies from our life this morning. You know, if we do not desire, Christian, to be spiritually healthy, then we belong to this group that Paul is talking about. And without the truth, we're not going to be spiritually healthy. We're going to be spiritually sick. Amen? And not only that, this group here, they want to live in a fantasy land. Listen, you know what? Let me say something to us all, from the pulpit all the way down. All of us need to constantly and continually grow up. Amen? We don't live in a fantasy land. We don't command God. We can't say, God, do this and do that. God is God. He's Almighty God. He's a thrice holy God. Listen, these people want to live in a fantasy land here. You know, they're never sick. They're never going to suffer. They're never going to starve. Listen, you know what? When you come to Christ, you may be a martyr. Somebody might kill you. Are you listening to me? You know, Christians are not very popular any longer in America. Have you noticed that? Matter of fact, as the days go on, we're less popular and less popular all the time. And so we don't know. So this group, they want false relief. They want to live in Neverland and so forth, you know? And the fact is they want to live off fairy tales. And the problem with living off fairy tales, they're not true. A fairy tale, is a fairy tale true? You know, once upon a time. Is that true? No. No, it's not true at all. So that means they prefer. Now listen, this group prefers a lie or lies over the truth of God's Word. They say, I don't want to listen to it anymore. It's too demanding. It's just too much ruling my life. Whatever the reason, they prefer the lie. Now, I want to talk about some lies this morning that Christians believe, especially in America. And the number one, I think, is one of the huge lie, okay? And is this, is that believers, many, many believers, they don't think the church, well, they don't think that church attendance is important. Boy, that is one of the biggest lies in the world. Listen, but Bill, you don't understand. Sunday morning is my only day to sleep in. Mine too. You know, see what happens? Look at me. That's what happens when you can't sleep in on Sunday morning. You look like this. Yeah, but I mean, Bill, I have an app. I can just listen. No, that's not going to cut it. You don't understand, Bill. My best praying time is Sunday morning when I'm on the lake. Oh, I'm out there. It's all peaceful. It's still. There's no one there because everyone is in church. And yeah, you praying all right. Oh, Lord, please, please send that fish by. No, he's only going to send fish by that are in schools. They're smart fish. They get away. Okay. God really spoke to me last Sunday, Bill. I wasn't here, but I was at the NASCAR. Oh, the roar of the engines. I started praying, especially at Daytona, when all the scraps started coming through the fence. And, oh, I had a great prayer time then. No, listen, I'm certainly agree. We need to go out and enjoy our life, but never, never treat church as unimportant. Listen, if a believer is not an habitual attender, if a believer is not connected and committed to some local body, then they are in trouble. And not only are they in trouble, listen very carefully, that means that they're believing a lie. They're believing that church is not really that important. I'm saved and you know what, I can just kind of bounce around and never connect, never commit. No, loved one, that is not true. And that is a lie that's embedded into the American Christian culture. And it's not true. That's why you should be now at Hebrews 10:24. Look what it says. It says, let us consider what? One another. Well, you can't do that if you're reading the Fort Worth Star-Telegram right now at home, listening on your app, can you? Oh, that was another joke. This is not working very well in the second service. No, let us consider one another in order to stir up or provoke two things, love and good works, and not forsaking, or literally the abandoning of the assembling of ourselves together. Now watch this, as is the habit of some. The word manner there means as the habit of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, we have something special to do on Sunday mornings. Amen? Yes, we come to worship the Lord. Yes, we come to hear the Word of God. But you know something? It's very difficult to stir one another up and provoke one another into good works and to love if you're not here doing it. It's kind of difficult to do that, isn't it? It's really difficult to do that if you're not connected and committed to a local body where you become that encourager, where you become that exhorter. It's very difficult because it says exhorting one another. Not really what you can get out of coming, but what you can give to others by your coming. Amen? Listen, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:19 that we are members of the household of God. And there is absolutely no way, since we are the body of Christ, that a Christian can fulfill God's plan for him by being outside of the body or apart from fellowship, because we need one another. The Bible knows absolutely nothing of lone rangers or lone Christians or, you know, isolated saints. They don't know anything about that. Now, of course, there are those that are seemingly isolated because maybe they're in a daycare or something like that to be taken care of. We understand that. But when a person is physically able, not confined to the home or a sick bed or whatever, we should be together because we need one another. Amen? We are the body of Christ. We're members one of another. You know, I've said it so often in this church, but which part of your body are you willing to do away with or give up right now? Would you say, Bill, I don't really need my right lung. Go ahead and let it stay home. No, you want every part of your body to stay connected to you, committed to you. Is that right? Yes. Oh, well, I don't know about you, but I definitely do. Not only that, I don't want anything to go wrong. I want all of it to keep working the way it's working. Amen? Well, see, we're members of one of another. We're joint supplies joint. When we come together, we are the literal. We're the body of Christ, a section, a portion of it on this planet. We're the true church. And I look at that and I say, Lord, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to cut myself off, because if you cut yourself off from the body, just like if I remove that finger right there, God forbid, that may hurt when I even talked about it, and left in there, it would be just on this pulpit. Well, you know what? Is it going to live? No, it's severed from my body. It's going to die. It's the same way with a Christian. If a Christian is out there just hanging out, not really connecting, not really committing, not being a part of a fellowship, you know what? You're just hopping around. You're not growing. You're just going from place to place. You're not planted. And so when you sever yourself, you just start withering and you start dying. Now listen, God help us remove that lie from the church. Amen? Listen, church attendance is very vital and very important. But not only that, I believe the reason why so many believers today have a mindset that the gathering of ourselves together is just not that important. And here's what I think. I think it is because they have a low view of the church of Jesus Christ. They don't see it clearly. Listen to me, church. When a person walks through those doors, when they see us, we are the body of Christ. Amen? Whenever a person walks through that door, whatever, they have just walked into the midst of a people that God has blessed. Amen? No. The unbelievers are not blessed, loved one. God will send rain on the just and the unjust alike. But every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies belongs to you and belongs to me. Ephesians 1:3. See, when people walk into this fellowship, you know what they see? They may not understand it, but they have a low view of the church. We are not only blessed, we're chosen. God chose you. God has adopted you. He's accepted you. He's redeemed you. He sealed you with His Spirit. And He has forgiven us, and we are His made alive saints. We are actually, I hesitate to use this word, and I've never used it in my ministry, but we are God's royalty. We are sons and daughters of the living God. Amen. We are co-heirs with Christ. How can we have a low view of the church? Whenever someone walks into this building and they see you, they see not only the only salt of the earth, they see the only light of the world. They see a city that's upon a hill that cannot be hidden. We are the church. We are forever triumphant. The gates of hell will never prevail against us. And we are the only answer in the world because we have the only divine, perfect truth from God. Amen? Do you really believe that? That we have the truth? You see, we have the truth, the answer for those that are dying. You know how rich we are? We are so rich. And may I say something to you, and I say this not to hurt other people or to belittle them, but the poorest people in the world are those that are without Jesus Christ. Man, we are rich. We have everything that we need. We have our Lord. We have our Savior. It says in 1 Timothy 3:15 that we are the church of the living God. And then he goes on to tell us that we are the pillar and the ground of the what? The truth. We hold the truth of God. Listen, to be the church of the living God means that we have the very life of God working in us. Do you have a low view of God's church? Boy, I pray not. You know, I hear, I don't like that church. Well, you know what? Church happen to be people. Amen? Let God sort them all out in the end. Don't worry about it. You go ahead and start doing good in your life. Amen? Yeah, but who cares what they did? They're going to have to answer of God. Everybody's going to have to give an account. God's not blind. He knows everything that everyone is doing. Yeah, but don't care. Who cares? You make sure your life is right. You make sure you're serving the Lord. Who cares what those other people, anyone is doing? I just want to know what God is doing. I want to know what God is up to. Now, and I think about, oh God, we're the church. There's not anyone equal to us. How can we have a low view of the church? Now, look at this. Not only that, but at the end there of Hebrews 10, in that verse that we're studying, verse 25, it says here that, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, one more thing about the church before we move on to another topic is this. There's no safety for anyone outside of the church. If you're not in the ark, the judgment of the world, God's going to judge the world. Amen? So it says here, so much more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? Well, it's not the day of the Lord. That's that day when God's wrath is poured out on this planet. This is the day of Christ. That means that instantly, any minute, any second, we don't know the hour, we don't know the day. That means the day of Christ means this, we may be snatched out of here, amen? In other words, we call it the rapture, caught up to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. That may happen today. That's why Jesus said, listen, stay awake, be ready. Constant expectancy. He said, because I'm coming in an hour, you don't know. You don't know when, you don't know the hour of your Lord's coming. The church is the only means of escape. Now, whenever I started thinking about the darkness that's prevailing in our land, and I love our country, not trying to speak evil of it or just being honest with you, I started asking people all week long questions, call them, talk with them, friends I know, people at the office and so forth. I asked so many questions, but I asked this question here. I said, what is the truth? What is the truth you know, but struggle to believe? What is the truth of God's word that you know, but you struggle to believe? I tell you, the responses were overwhelming. Some of the people I talked with, they said, well, you know what? The truth that I know, but that I struggle to believe is that God really accepts me. Don't you see that's not clear thinking, isn't it? See, if we don't believe, now I'm not beating up the person who told me that, but I've thought that in my life, haven't you? How could God accept me? Well, he doesn't accept me. He accepts me in his son. And in his son, man, you've got it made. Amen? Oh, listen, our sins are washed away. We've kept the law. Everything we've done has pleased God. Why? We are in his son, Jesus Christ. We have perfect righteousness. Our righteousness is his filthy rags. We have his righteousness. Are we accepted? Yes, we are accepted in the beloved. Ephesians 1:6, which I've told you a million times, is that God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus Christ, his son. But you know what? You can know that. You can know that, but not really believe that. Are you listening to me? See, you can know God's truth. Okay, yes, I've got a theological fact. I've got it down. But the truth of the matter is, it's not living in you. Do you understand? And that's what I'm saying today. That lie, you've got to get rid of that lie. God has accepted you. Or another one was, I just don't believe God is going to forgive me. I don't believe he's forgiven me. Oh, but the blood of Jesus has washed away all of our sins. Oh, no, but I just don't feel forgiven. Well, sometimes I don't feel forgiven. But that doesn't mean you're not forgiven. Amen? See, we're in a battle. We live in our flesh. The devil hates us, and we live in the world that's under the god of this age. Listen, the wicked one. We have a battle going on. That's why the first piece of armor in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following, the first piece of armor that you're supposed to put on is what? Girding yourself up with what? Truth. What truth? The truth of God's word. You see, if the girdle holds, all the other pieces connect to the belt or to the girdle. And if you don't have truth in you, all the shield of faith, all the rest of it, it's not going to do you any good, because you have to build it off of God's word. You have to believe God's word. Amen? Not just know God's word. You have to believe God's word. Jesus just told us in John 8:31, remember, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth will set you free. You've got to say, this is God's word, it is truth, this is a lie, get away from me. And so when we look at all this, we have to understand that. Another one was this, when I said, what is the truth you know, but you struggle to believe? Well, they said, I know that God is enough, but I just don't believe he is enough. I know he's enough, but I need this, and I need this, and I have to have that, and are you listening to me? See, I've got to have those three. I've got to have that money. I've got to have this. I need so many other things that I put my trust in. Listen to me. God is enough. And you'll never know. Listen, if we were stripped of everything we had and everything we owned and everyone that we loved, and we were left homeless without anything, our God is enough for you in every situation that you face and I face in my life. Amen? We have to believe that. We just can't just say it or let it be mental assent in our hearts. No, we've got to believe that. See, for us to know the truth and not believe the truth is to believe a lie. Are you following me? Very important. You know, is God big enough to take care of us? What did David tell us in Psalm 23:1? He says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall need everything. Oh, God, help me. No, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I shall not lack. Listen, if you don't believe that, I'm challenging you. I'm loving you. I'm provoking you. See, you can only be provoked by me if you show up. Do you understand? That's why we assemble together. It says to provoke one another unto love and good works, stir one another up. I'm just stirring you up right now.
Pastor Bill will conclude this message on tomorrow's program, and we'll look for you once again. And we want to thank you for listening to the broadcast today. We pray that the remainder of your day is blessed. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.